Blog Talk Radio.
I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father.
Welcome to Solutions Radio, your favorite radio show, right here on Zambia Blog Talk Radio, with, of course, yours truly, your favorite host. I hope I'm your favorite host. Hope you're all doing great. For those of you who are joining us for the very first time, a very warm welcome to each of you. We are on every Tuesday, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. For those of you who've been with us from the beginning, it's 2 years now. We appreciate your support, and I believe these programs have been very enriching and enlightening and informative and a good challenge. Relationships are what make us be who we are, and especially as women, God has made us to be are very relational. And so this program focuses on love, relationships, and marriage from a biblical point of view. And we've had some amazing guests from all over the world, different nations who have shared their story. They've all been so real. And we just thank God for each of them. We do have a page on Facebook, Solutions Radio. Like our page, and if this program has been a blessing to you, share with somebody. You know, knowledge is power, and it's always good to learn something you don't know, whether you're single, whether you're married, looking, or happy the way you are. You can learn something from this wonderful program. Well, we've been having a lot of recordings the last few Tuesdays because I had not quite recovered after the conference. I was so exhausted, but I am so excited to be doing a live show with my wonderful friend and sister. But before I introduce her, I also want to let you know I will be in New York, New Jersey this coming weekend. So all of our friends and partners, you are very welcome. Friday, I get to go to the United Nations. They have a great fellowship there, and I get to minister to all these VIPs and executives. How exciting. Then Saturday, we have a ladies' breakfast. I would invite you, but it's actually sold out, I am told. Sold out, jam-packed to capacity. But Sunday morning, if you're in the area, Kingdom Ambassadors Church, you can get the address from my wonderful Pastor Shiko, who's the facilitator, one of the facilitators of this show. And Sunday afternoon, the same place, there's a service there. Also, we are going to the great continent of Africa. If you know, I'm so passionate about doing ministry. I think after 25 years of living in the USA, you know, I really feel like we as Africans in the diaspora, we are like Joseph. We must give back to our people. So this coming summer, we start off with Nairobi, Kenya, June the 25th to the 28th. Fresh Aroma Nairobi. If you'd like to join us, you are welcome. Last year we went with about five people and they just loved it. And then July the 16th to the 19th, we're doing Fresh Aroma Lusaka. This will be our second one. And we are really, really looking forward. People are looking forward. They just cannot wait for that date. So if you love missions, please come. You are very welcome. Just inbox me or inbox Pastor Shiko on Facebook. Thank God for social media and technology. It has made our life easier. It has helped us connect with our childhood friends, our school friends. Well, tonight we want to have girl talk. We want to talk heart to heart with singles, with married, with the searching, with those who are content the way they are. You know, in my many travels, I'm finding, you know, some ladies are very secure and confident in who they are. But then some are like so broken and sad, and they just feel, if only I get married, then I you know, that's when I'll start living. And that is not how God has created it to be. And I think one of the very, very best examples, and this is why I have her on the show, my wonderful childhood and school friend, Pastor Clarissa. She has such a beautiful testimony. And in all the years I've known her, even as just when we were in elementary school together, yes, that's how long I've known her. She's just always been a very happy, secure, and confident person. And I think that is so important as women, because, you know, there are images on the color of our skin, images on, you know, beautiful is skinny. So you find that so many women are not secure, even those who are married. I mean, it's they you know, they're like policemen with their husbands. I mean, and you cannot do that. But it is my joy and my privilege to introduce this powerful, awesome, incredible, beautiful, anointed woman of God. I love her with all my heart. She keeps it real. Oh, my goodness. She makes me laugh. She makes me happy. I mean, she is the real deal. And we just want to talk heart to heart with you ladies. She's going to share a bit. I'm going to share a bit. And we want you to call in with questions, with comments, because this is not a monologue. It's a dialogue. Pastor Clarissa, are you on Solutions this evening?
Praise the Lord. Yes, I am.
How are you, my dear lady?
Oh, I am very, very well, and thank you very much for inviting me back to your program. I guess I did something right the last time. I thought I had been banned, but I'm back.
Actually, people have been asking and asking, and I'm like, oh, the time has come to bring Pastor Clarissa back. So, Pastor Clarissa, I would love you to just encourage the ladies in waiting. You know, one of the things I loved about you, your time of waiting, I never saw you miserable. I never saw you let yourself go like your weave all raggedy. Not your weave, your real nice long hair. I mean, you were just, you know, you were busy. You know, but I'm finding so many young ladies are just, oh no, they're in quite a state. And I would really love you just to encourage them, minister to them. Then we're also going to deal with the marriage. But let's start with our singles. What do you have to say to them as they wait for Mr. Right? And what if Mr. Right is taking too long? Because somebody called me the other day, and they're like, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've given, I've changed my weave, I've done it all, and where is he?
Oh, well, you know, you can change your weave, you can change your wardrobe, you can change your teeth, the color of your eyes and everything, but if it's not time yet, it's just not time yet. And you cannot tell God that if you don't do it now, this is what I'm planning to do. Because at the end of the day, it's your life, really. It's your life, and you will live that life that you choose, and if you decide not to wait on God. It's not an easy thing to wait, but you just have to wait. You just have to wait. You know, I was one of those ladies who got married after 40, and on top of this, I had a daughter. You know, I was a single mom for a long time. But I waited on the Lord. And while you're waiting, I think it's important to be happy, as my sister friend said. I just, you know, I didn't have time to be down because I was single or anything. I think it's very important to appreciate yourself for who you are.
Uh-huh.
If you do not appreciate yourself as a full, total, happy being, then you cannot, I guess you cannot fully enjoy marriage, because you have to recognize and acknowledge that you are a whole being. God created you to enjoy this life. God created you to be everything He wanted you to be. So God knows your ending from your beginning. You have to decide that you will enjoy your life. And believe me, the best time to enjoy your life is while you're single. Because you can do anything you want to do. You wake up when you want to wake up. You go to bed when you want to go to bed. You eat when you want to eat. If you want to stay hungry, you stay hungry. You're fasting. Whatever you want to do, you do, without having to think of a husband who you have to cook for, you have to do this for, you have to do that for. So be yourself, enjoy your life, live to the fullest, of course, within the boundaries of a Christian woman. Do what you need to do to make yourself everything. If you have to have an education, get an education. If whatever you need to learn in ministry, you know, because all of us have been called to ministry. And you cannot say, I will do the work of God when I'm married. You cannot wake up, get married, and then suddenly realize that this is your calling. Uh-huh. Your calling starts from the day you are born. And as you grow, you realize that this is the area that I have been called. And you start nourishing that part and nurturing that area of your life. And by the time you are ready to unite with the other person, your ministry is complementary to the person that God is bringing in your life. So you cannot stand still and say, I'm waiting for that person, and be miserable, because a miserable single woman is a miserable married woman. So you need to enjoy your life as a single woman and be everything God has created you to be. I mean, when I was waiting for the Lord, I was busy doing the work of God. I was happy. And there came a time when I was thinking, you know, I don't think I'll be able to do all of this when I get married. And I want to take care of my daughter. I want to do everything I have to do for her and just take care of her and make her feel that she does not have to depend on anybody to be what God has called her to be. I have to be an example to her as well. So it is very important to appreciate yourself as a human being. So I did a lot of things, really. I got busy. I got busy with the work of God. And while I was waiting, I mean, maybe once in a while, you think, oh, you know, it would be nice to get married. I look forward to the day I'll get married. But I didn't focus on it too much because, you know, we are made of the spirit, soul, and body. I'll go into that as well, because it's very important for the three to align themselves so that you can, before you meet that person, they're fully aligned. Because when they're out of place, then you're not ready to settle and be one with another person. Because even that person coming into your life, their spirit, soul, and body have to be aligned for both of you to become one. So when these three are in different places, then you find all kinds of problems arising when you're supposed to be a unit, you know. So I don't know if I should talk about that now, the spirit and body.
I want you to, you know, you keep talking about appreciating yourself, and, you know, that is very, very important. But really, when you talk to a lot of women, you will be surprised. I mean, somebody who is so beautiful, when you compliment them, like, oh, you know, I don't know what it is. They're like, oh, but I still need to, you know, lose 10 more pounds. Oh, no, my skin is a little too dark. I mean, you know, so when you talk about appreciate yourself, let's really break it down. What exactly do you mean?
Okay. I'll give myself as an example. Growing up, I have big eyes. My brothers made fun of my eyes, and I thought I looked terrible, and I was very conscious about my eyes. I have long legs. They called me Daddy Long Legs, you know, and I was very conscious about my legs. I had big boobs, and I mean, I was so uncomfortable with my boobs.
Join the club.
Yes. So, as I grew up, you know, later on in life, I realized, I mean, I still have that little thing behind, you know, the back of my head that I have these areas in my life that need to change. But the Lord ministered to me, you know, in ways that made me appreciate who I was. I'd go to places and people would say, wow, you have beautiful eyes. And I took it that was God talking to me and assuring me that I did not make a mistake by giving you those eyes. My boobs, well, when I got married, jumping into my married life, my husband loved that. My legs, my long legs, I mean, when I go places, people look at my legs and say, you have nice legs. But, you know, it's not even just the compliments that you get from people. You know, you yourself need to know that God does not make mistakes. You know, you have to love yourself. You have to love yourself. I have seen people, you know, who a person will be so, you know, their body is fearfully and wonderfully made. And they will wear whatever everybody else is wearing. You look at that person and you know that, no, now that person shouldn't be dressed like that because that dress really doesn't look good on them. But guess what? They are so confident. Nobody has to tell them they are looking good. They love the way they are looking and they feel good and nothing and nobody will put them down. So you have to appreciate what you have and who you are. You have to take care of yourself, you know? There are some people who are so depressed that they stop taking care of themselves.
Right.
I mean, even when in times when I went through a lot of financial difficulty or things that were not going right in my life, I didn't sit back and say, I will not dress up. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. I always wore a ponytail. It was the easiest thing. And every time I do my hair, people would think, wow, you just look so good in that ponytail. But I just did not want to go out looking like the way I was feeling inside. You know, you have to purpose. Wake up in the morning and tell yourself, I am everything God has called me to be. I am the best God has intended for me to be. You just tell yourself those things. Just feel good about yourself. When you feel good about yourself, you radiate that good feeling to the people around you. If you go around feeling bad and vibrating all kinds of negative emotions around you, people feel it. So you have to decide and purpose within you that I will be happy with who I am. It comes from the inside. It comes from the inside. You do not need anybody to tell you how to feel about yourself. So I don't know how much more to explain this, but it's a personal thing that you have to decide every time you wake up in the morning that you are happy, you look good, you feel good, you are going to do everything God has called you to do that morning. You write your list of the things that you're supposed to do for the day, and you'll just go out and be happy. Period.
Oh, I love that. I love what you're saying, Pastor Clarissa, especially the speaking, because, you know, I always tell people so many things speak to us, you know, and it's important for us to speak to ourselves. You know, maybe some people grew up in a home where they were not loved, they were not complimented.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you see how for a long time you said you were conscious about your legs, your eyes, yet your eyes are beautiful. You know,
mm-hmm.
your legs are lovely, model kind of legs. And, you know, the enemy can really twist some of these things that people become so insecure.
Yes,
but you're so powerful. You know, I love what you say, that you wake up and say, I'm everything that God said I am, and I'm going to do everything that God said I will do. I think that self-talk, you know, I
mm-hmm.
think of Shunammite woman with the dead baby. And
yeah.
you know how mothers, we love our children. I mean, she could have just been crazy, crying, falling all over the place. But she said, it is well.
Amen.
And then the woman with the issue of blood, she just spoke to herself and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. So I think that self-talk is awesome. And then you talked about radiating. Oh, I love that. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the things, guys, nobody wants to be around a miserable, grouchy, complaining person. But
mm-hmm.
as you said, you know, it has to come from the inside. You know, that confidence and that joy and that self-appreciation, it has to come from somewhere.
Yes. And
so,
go
ahead.
One of the things that I have learned over the years, you know, that, you know, what I just said, it has to come from inside. It comes from somewhere. I had talked about this, the spirit, the soul, and the body earlier on. You
uh-huh.
see, these are areas of your life that you need to get clean. You need to align yourself. Your spirit man, if you do not feed your spirit man with the right things, if you do not feed your spirit man with positive things, and things that make you happy. And in this case, I'm looking at spending time with God, praying,
uh-huh.
reading the Word of God, and just communing with Him. You build your spirit man. And when you build your spirit man, you start developing confidence and courage, you know, in yourself. You feel like you can walk on anything because God
uh-huh.
is on your side. So you feed
yeah.
that spirit man. And then your soul, you have to clean out your soul. Your soul is that part of you which stores every kind of emotion. Anything that may have happened to you as a child that was bad or good, anything that may have just, you know, it's like your character. Character is formed in the soul.
Yeah.
So you see, the things we watch on TV, we need to be careful because whatever strikes your soul will keep and reserve. It's like a bank. It keeps everything. You know, when you look at 1 Corinthians, it tells us that we cannot, basically it says, we cannot be one with someone who is not our husband.
Right.
You cannot sleep with men and say, while I'm waiting, or maybe this is the only way this person will get to know me or marry me, or, you know. We cannot do that because every time you sleep with someone who's not your husband, you're forming a tie in the spirit realm. You're becoming one with that person. And that person also has been with other people who have been with other people. So at the end of the day, your soul is so full of things that are not right. So when you do decide to, eventually when you do get married, it's not the two of you, you and your husband. It's all those people that you have slept with. So you have to clean out your soul. While you wait for your husband, clean out your soul. And this comes from deliverance, praying, and, you know, just going before the Lord to ask Him to clean you out as you wait for your husband. Your body is what, you know, is what houses the spirit and the soul. So your body also has to be kept clean. Your body is what, you know, if your body is not in alignment with the spirit, then, you know, there's a struggle between the body and the spirit. You know, there's that verse also which says the spirit is willing, but the body is not, you know. The body also fights the spirit, like you want to do this, you want to spend time in the Word of God. And the body says, no, just a little more sleep or just a little bit of this. And if you're not careful, you know, the two can never come together. And as a result, your walk, and that's where you find all these feelings of inadequacies and all of that come in, because your spirit, your soul, and your body are not in alignment. But once you align your spirit, your soul, and your body, then you are a full person. You can appreciate yourself more. You are less judgmental of yourself. You criticize
right.
yourself less. And mm-hmm. you just wait on the Lord and know that God has my back. Whatever, no matter how long it takes, God has my back. There's someone out mm-hmm. there for me. And as a result, you want to go full force doing the work of God and just, you know, just being happy, being yourself. You cannot mm-hmm. be happy if your inside is not it's not clean.
Mm-hmm.
So that as much as you want to dress up and look good and say, oh, okay, I'm going to wear this and look good and feel good about myself, your soul and the spirit, man, also have to be in alignment with that body. Amen.
Amen. There's something you had said earlier. You said a miserable single lady makes a miserable a married woman, because what happens is, you know, sometimes people are like, no, when I get married,
mm-hmm.
and then they put so much pressure on the other spouse to basically make their day, and that's just pressure on anybody, you know, and it's important for singles to know that they are not half beings, they are whole, and this is both
Amen.
Single men, single ladies, you are not half baked, half cooked, you are whole. And remember, as you're going into that marriage, it's not just to receive, you're also going to give. So this is really the time to prepare yourself, because you're also going to be a blessing to someone. But if you go in just saying, okay, I'll start serving when I'm married, I'll be happy when I'm married, I'll lose weight when I'm married, Lord have mercy, you're not going to have too much to give. But let's also talk about marriage, because I like to keep it real. I'm also finding mm-hmm. married women who are not happy. It's like their whole life is wrapped in their husband, so they've done nothing for themselves. And, you know, I believe in marriage. I believe in respecting the husband as the head. But I think also it's important for a woman to also, you know, like if you need to go back to school, you know, mm-hmm. to also do things for you. Because you find like some women have literally lost their identity all in the name of marriage. And I don't think that's how God intended it to be. Like, you know, because there are times I just tell my boys, mama has a life, okay? I mean, I've chauffeured you to your game, taking you to McDonald's, it's my time out. I'm going to do my nails, pedicures, hang out with my girls. And they're like, oh, no. I'm like, yep. If you want me to be not a grouchy mama, I need time out. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's help the married ladies also. What can you say about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's very important. It's very, very important to just have that time for yourself, because you're right. So many times, especially in the West, when people come here, you have your job, you go back home, you're the wife, you're taking care of kids, and basically you're playing so many roles. And we can handle it as women, but there comes a time when you need that time for yourself. I remember a story of a woman who she was taking this child to this game, to this recital, to this whatever. She was running all over the place. You know, her husband would come back home, and he wants his dinner ready. He wants, you know, everything done, and he eats. She'll leave the table, she'll clear the table, wash the dishes, you know, put the kids to bed, and, you know, start her whole day, and it was going on like that. And one day, she couldn't take it anymore. I don't know if any of you remember this story. It was in the news, I think, three, four years ago. This woman, that morning, dropped the kids off to school, went back home, packed her bags, left, and left a note for her husband, don't look for me. Because it was too much for her. It was too much for her. She just broke down and she just had to leave that environment and go to a place where she could have time. And she traveled. She went on a long vacation. I think she was gone for like 3 weeks. And then after that, she came back. She said, no, she couldn't take it anymore. So you need to make time for yourself. Of course, you have to love your husband, you love your kids, but you have to make time for yourself. It's so much easier when we are in Africa and developing countries where you have people who help you do different things. Exactly. You come, somebody's sweeping your house, someone is taking care of your yard, someone is taking care of cooking for the kids and stuff like that. You come home, of course you do, you take care of your duties as a wife, but you don't do as much. And what I always remind married women is, look at the Bible. Even Sarah, those people in the Bible, they had maids, they had workers. So they were not running around doing everything themselves. So you need to make time for yourself. Your life cannot rotate around one person.
Exactly.
You have to make time for yourself, and you need to let your family know that you need that time. Otherwise, you will not be useful to your family. We would love to have superwomen who just keep going without a man, but even superwoman shows up when she's needed. When she's not needed, she's not in the picture. So she's out taking time out as well. So it is very, very important to take that time out for yourself. It becomes very stressful. You end up in the nut house.
Because, you know, we are created to be mothers and wives and daughters. Because some women actually feel guilty, like if they're just sitting and having a nice cup of tea. You know, but really you shouldn't. Because as you said, to be effective, you have to take care of you. Because if you are burnt out, tired, overwhelmed, I mean, you cannot be even an effective wife or an effective mother. And I love what you said, Pastor Clarissa, about communicating. And I remember my grandmother taught me, she said, right from the beginning of marriage, do not try to be superwoman. Because if you do, then the husband will be like, oh, wow, I have a policeman, a fireman, a teacher. You know, if you're trying to be the be-all and end-all, but, you know, you have to say, hey, I'm tired, please, I need help. Or, honey, today it's your day to cook. You know, we really have to learn to communicate.
Exactly. Because I know, you know, there are so many situations where women are not happy and you do not enjoy your marriage, believe me, when you do not give yourself time. They'll tell you date your husband or your wife once a week, or whether it's once a month for people, but just have that time to just spend time out, having fun, just the two of you, or you go out and hang out with the girls, whether it's once a month or once a week, whatever works for you, depending on how much stress you have to deal with on a daily basis, you just have to make that time for yourself. You have to make that time for yourself. Because not only are you not being productive in the family, even your work at work, it suffers.
Right.
Your work suffers as well on the job. You go through all kinds of problems. So it really is important for married women to take time out. And Prophetess Marcus said, communicate, let your partner know what's killing you, what's destroying your life, what's destroying your communication, what's destroying, other areas of your life where you have been productive. You need to be able to talk about things. So it's very, very important. It's very important because when one area suffers, when one area is lacking, rather, then other areas start suffering. So it's very important.
Wonderful. If you have just tuned in, we are having Girl Talk with Pastor Clarissa. We have shared to the singles. We are now just helping the married. And we want to open it up at this time. You might have a comment. You might have a question. We want to hear from you and have a good dialogue. Please don't feel shy to ask. And the program is here to help you. Or you might want to ask on behalf of somebody. All you need to do is press 1, and Pastor Shiko will see that phone call. Pastor Shiko, do we have any burning questions or comments?
No, we don't have any questions at this moment, but I'd just like to encourage all the callers just to press 1 if you have a question or a comment, and I'll call out your number. Oh, yes, we do have one. And the area code is phone number 405. Your last 4 digits are 5357. You're welcome.
Okay, my name is Lois, and I have a question. I mean, I can identify with you on the part of the single ladies where you felt like you found your purpose and you found your call in ministry and your place in ministry, and you got pretty engrossed in it, you know, and going for it. And I mean, I kind of feel like I'm getting there, or that is where my life is at. And like you said, you had a fear, like, okay, you wonder if I get married, how is it gonna integrate with all this and stuff like that. How did you deal with that? Thank you.
Well, like I said earlier, when I made that comment, God has a way of bringing someone in your life who's also who your ministry kind of complements their ministry as well. And you see, some of the things that you are doing in ministry, you may have to stop doing. It's not everything. Like, okay, say for example, if you're an intercessor who's in the church 24/7, you need to start rethinking that. You need to know that, okay, now I'm a married woman. I cannot be going to church every night. You need to spend time at home. You can decide, okay, I'll do it once a week because I need to be home. And when you're home, you also need to continue that intercession with your husband. You meet halfway so that you're not completely off the radar. You're still doing that work, but you're doing it from home. And, you know, there are just different works that will keep you away from home. So you have to use some wisdom once you get married. You have to use wisdom and know what works for you, what works for your marriage, and what doesn't. You know, because I know that I was out all the time. You know, and being a single mom, I'd take my daughter from the time she was small, I'd just carry her. If I was going for night vigils, I'd carry something to cover her with. She'd be sleeping in bed, wherever I was, she'd be sleeping, and I'll be busy doing what I'm doing, praying and everything. If I'm going out to evangelize, she'll be there with me with her own set of, you know, flyers to give to people. She'll be evangelizing, talking to people. If anything, she touched so many souls because, you know, if the child is giving a flyer to a person and telling them you need Jesus, they get touched. So it's like I did things like that with her. I'd go out and do that. We were out like maybe every after church on Sunday, we'd go out doing stuff like that, or whenever it was, you know, we could do it. And you go out praying for people, you do things. But once you get married, you need to know that maybe I won't do what I was doing as much now that I'm married, because then now your ministry kind of turns a little bit. Your ministry now becomes more to your husband and your children. But there's still a way that God will use you in the passion that he has given you. And the important thing also is not to quench that passion. You need to keep it alive somehow. And you need to make sure that the person that God has brought to you will support your passion as well. It's very, very important. If you have,
and I think that's why when dating, you know, you see, these are, and we always encourage singles, they need to talk, because, you know, sometimes people don't talk about certain things, then when they get married, they're surprised when they want to go to choir rehearsal, and the spouse says, no, you can't. But really, they didn't, maybe the other person didn't realize how engaged this person was in the ministry or in the work of God. So I think that conversation really needs to take place during that dating engagement time.
Yeah, because otherwise you'll never know. And sometimes if you're going with the wrong person, they'll pretend, and some people will pretend very well. And once they get married, they tell you, no, you can't do this. And you say, but you know I was doing this before you married me. And they're like, okay, no, you don't do that anymore. Because I know from experience, I had an uncle who was in love with a woman who was from a very saved family, and they were Seventh-day Adventists, actually. And when he went to seek her hand in marriage, the family said, no, we only want someone, a Seventh-day Adventist, someone who loves the Lord as much as our daughter does. And my uncle said, me, that's my life. And he went and impressed the family. The moment he married his wife, they went back home, and she said, but you know, I wasn't telling the truth. And they, you know, he didn't continue. You know, they didn't do the things that they were supposed to do. But thank God and praise the Lord, eventually he did become a man of God who went out ministering the gospel. So
wow,
you can't mess with God.
Exactly. How about Pastor? You know, one of the saddest things I've seen is, you know, like singles who before they were married, they were passionate. Not exaggerated, you know, balanced, but really, you know, serving. And then when they get married, every other sentence, and for me, it drives me crazy. Oh, no, I can't, my hubby and I. Oh, no, I can't, my wife and I. And because I thought marriage is supposed to, that now you're doing it corporately. It's exciting. You know, yes, I believe in, you know, we have to take care, but not when everything you ask is just, they always mention the spouse. Now, isn't that idolizing a spouse?
I think that does become idolizing a spouse now. You are seeking God for something, and when God gives you that thing, it becomes your idol. And it reminds me of the Israelites, you know, in the wilderness when God eventually gave them, you know, when they came out, they were given the gold and everything. And while they were waiting on Moses, they thought it took so long. The same gold that God had blessed them with, they made an idol and started worshiping that idol.
Uh-huh.
So when God gives you a husband or a wife, I think this is to further his kingdom. And the other now the other spouse should not be the center of your life. When now you stop doing the work of God because, oh, my husband this, or my wife this, then that becomes a problem, and that doesn't please God at all. So we need to be very careful. You know, we need to be very careful. And sometimes, you find that when people are in the church, they may be there, and while they're there, they say, okay, I'll serve in this area, and I'll serve in that area, and maybe they're not fully in what they're doing because they know what they want. And once they get that thing which they want, then that, you know, it's like, now I don't need to be doing this thing. I've got what I want. And that's how now the other person becomes an idol. Because then maybe they were not seeking God fully. It's not God they were after. They were not chasing after God. They were chasing after things that they can get through God.
Wow.
So we need to be very careful. We need to be very, very careful. Because I've seen that happen a lot where, you know, people will be in the church and they'll be there doing everything. And once they get that thing, that's it. That's it. And I've also found out in my own research that people who come to the Lord because of a problem, you know, there are sometimes when someone is going through something and you introduce them to Christ and they come to know the Lord and they're on fire, then usually don't stay focused on the Lord once that problem is taken care of.
Yeah, yeah.
But people who start desiring Christ and wanting to know who he is, when everything around them is going okay, but they have this desire to know who this God is, you find that
they are the ones who will carry the church through and who will take the gospel to wherever. They will stay focused. I have found out that people who come to the Lord because of a need usually slow down and abandon that which they came to the Lord for.
That's a powerful, powerful revelation. Do we have any more questions, comments?
I do have a question, Pastor Clarissa, and I'm really enjoying this talk. It's a good talk. So you mentioned being careful. You've mentioned being careful because there are some people who will just seek after God because of what they want from God. Now, when you're saying be careful, how can we be careful? Like, how can you pick up a sign that this guy is just after me, he's coming to church and doing the whole church thing because he's after me, not after God?
I think, you see, like earlier we had said you need to pray, and like I was also saying that your spirit, your soul, and your body need to align. The spirit, like I said, is the one that communes with God. And once you are aligned with God, your spirit man is aligned with God, then God reveals a lot of things to you. God will tell you things. He will share his heart with you. And when your spirit is aligned, you will hear. You will hear the voice of God clearly, and you will heed to his direction, to his leading. And, you know, and you will, if he tells you, well, this is not the person. I'll give myself as an example. While I was waiting on the Lord, a lot of suitors came to me, and suitors that I thought, wow, this is it. And these were all men of God. You know, because I knew that I was not going to get married to anyone who wasn't in the Lord. These were men of God serving the Lord. And they'll come, and when you find someone is Reverend so-and-so or Pastor so-and-so, this man of God, this and that, you say, oh, Lord, I thank you. But God says, not so fast. You and I need to have a talk. This person is not what they say they are. They are not like this. Sometimes a person may be a man of God for true, but that's not the person for you.
Yeah.
And you can't say, Lord, no, I am going to go with this person because I don't know when you're bringing the next person. No, because you're setting yourself up for trouble. So you have to hear the voice of God. You have to be able to hear. And some of them were surely being very spiritual to attract me because they knew that this one will only go with someone who knows the Lord. And
believe
me, once you contaminate your spirit, you know, there's that scripture which says, when an unclean spirit leaves the body and it goes away, you see, once you say, God is you and me all the way, and then if you try to do what is outside the will of God, you contaminate your spirit, you contaminate your soul, your body. It says that spirit will come back to check, to see if that house they left is swept and clean. Because when you accept Christ and you align yourself, your spirit now becomes inhabited with the Holy Spirit. They become one. So there's no way the devil can come in. But once you let your guard down and want to do what you think is right and try to convince God that you're doing the right thing, believe me, you're telling the Holy Spirit, step aside while I do what I think is right. And while the Spirit of God has stepped aside, that unclean spirit comes and takes over. And that's how you find that some believers now change and you say, but that woman was so strong in the things of God, but look at their life. Why is this happening to them? But that's because they went their way and didn't let God lead them through to where they were supposed to be. And, you know, it's like their state becomes even worse than when before they were saved. So we need to be very careful. We need to listen to the voice of God. Not all that glitters is gold, as the saying goes.
Whoa. That is excellent counsel. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think time, if somebody is really from God, they're willing, number one, to pay the price. Because
yes.
guys were like, no, we got to get married. Oh, no. I'm like, no, we don't, honey. You need to wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is
mm-hmm.
the rush? Time
yeah.
is always the best revealer of the hearts
mm-hmm.
and of the intentions.
Exactly.
And then the Bible also says you shall know them by their fruit. One of my spiritual daughters called me, I think this was about 2 years ago, and she's like, Mom, I've met this guy. I'm like, mm-hmm. So she goes out. He was whining, dining her, opening doors. But I just had a check in my spirit. I said, okay, ask
mm-hmm.
him a little bit about himself. When she would ask him about his personal life, one day he left her in the restaurant. That's how mad he was.
Oh,
the so-called
Lord.
Man of God. Can you imagine? I said, she called me, I'm at Red Lobster by myself. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. But I said, honey, thank God he revealed himself. Imagine if he had walked down the aisle and then he acted crazy like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, ladies, please don't. I know we all love the knight in shining armor and want to be swept off our feet, but
mm-hmm.
be careful before you know. It's just, and this is, again, not to be suspicious, because again, now some people take it like, you know, really nitpicking. But as you
mm-hmm.
said, Pastor Clarissa, just to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. But really, the truth always comes out.
Yes, it does. And you know, sometimes when you meet the right person, it doesn't even take you a long time. You know, both of you are so sure, and the Lord says, this is the person. You don't have to be engaged for 3 years before you decide, okay, no. When God says this is the person, it's up to you to decide on the day whenever you want to tie the knot. Your spirit will just, you know, you know that this is it, and God has said this is it. So it's not always that you have to wait for long periods, you know, and say, okay, no, let's... and. When you're getting married over 40, over 50, there's no way to have a, there's no need to have a 7-year engagement. Believe me.
It's hitting close to home, Miss Pastor Clarissa. Okay, we'll leave that one alone. We're getting a little touchy here.
Okay, I'm not, you know, no offense to anyone. If anybody's been engaged for a very long time, no offense. Maybe that's what the Lord is telling you, but, you know.
No but
offense.
Again, long engagements, I mean, no.
Mm-hmm.
But another, and I think we'll have to deal with it on another. We want to give somebody else an opportunity. Thank you, Pastor Shiko. It was a very good question. Anyone else with a question, a comment, please don't be shy. That's why we're on solutions.
Yeah.
We do not have anyone else as of right now.
Anybody on Facebook?
So, Pastor Clarissa, times when you're like,
no question.
We cannot hear you.
During those moments, how would you,
I'm sorry, is it my phone or? Hello?
We cannot.
Okay. Yes, are you still on, Pastor Clarissa? We can hear you.
We cannot hear you.
Okay, you can't hear me?
You're getting closer.
There
you
go. You know, more, let's just say 90%, as you were waiting on the Lord, you were pretty strong, you were serving, being a blessing to others. But how about those moments where you're like, okay, Lord, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've given, I've smiled, I've lost weight. Where is this brother? How would you keep strong and keep your joy?
I think, you know, in times like that,
honestly, I know, you know, times would come when you feel that way. You know, Lord, maybe it's time for me to settle down with somebody and, you know, I have done my part. I think going back to the Word of God and just, you know, keeping yourself in the Word of God and listening to sermons and just reading the Word and doing things that keep you focused. That helped me a lot, you know. You just keep focused and you just try not to think about it too much. And the company you keep is very important too. You know, sometimes you just want to sit with a whole bunch of single girls and everybody is so sad and depressed. And, you know, if you're in an environment like that, then you end up being depressed. But you need to be careful. You need to know that, no, I don't think I'm hanging out with you guys today. I think I'm okay, you know. You go and do things that, you know, will lift your spirit and encourage yourself in the Lord. I'm not saying, you know, those days will not come. They do come. But you need to refocus and look at something else and just encourage yourself in the Lord. And before you know it, that feeling goes. It could be there for a day or for 2 days, for the week. But just encourage yourself in the Lord and focus on things that will build your spirit, man. And, you know, continue to try and be happy where you are. And every time I looked at my daughter and her prayers and everything, you know, it gave me joy. I'd laugh. That, you know, that made me happy. But, yeah, those days will come, but you have to decide, I will not focus on this too much. And I will not sit with people who are going to make me feel a certain way. You just have to purpose to do that. But those days will come. But they shouldn't take over your whole being. Amen. Hello? Oh, I guess we keep losing her. I'm not sure if it's my phone or...
Yeah, we cannot hear her. No, we cannot. Not really.
Oh, I can hear you all clearly.
Okay, now you're coming back. Yeah.
Much better.
Yes, I was saying, Pastor Clarissa, she was waiting to get her master's at Cornell University. So we want to encourage you as you're also serving, go back to school, take a course, you know, do something to develop yourself so that by the time the right comes, I mean, you're really a full package. So proud of you, Pastor Clarissa, you are truly a testimony of joy and grace. Wisdom.
I'm sorry, dear. You just have gone. I'm not sure what's happening with your phone, but.
Okay, Pastor Sika, you have to close. I can hear you all clearly. Thank you so much, Pastor Clarissa, for the wisdom you have shared, for being so real, for great counsel. And we look at the blessed hear from you and let's see. Pastor Sika, you can close. I'm just waiting for what I said.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, thank you so much, Pastor Clarissa. We really enjoyed listening to you and your wisdom nuggets. And I thank you, each and every caller. You're most welcome. I want to thank also every caller that joined us today and join us again next week for another session of Solutions Radio Show. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.